Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live with another week of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us, and we will be here every day this week. Even though Wednesday is a holiday, we'll continue to roll along with a live program on Wednesday. We hope that you will join us and look forward, of course, as we now officially in the month of July to a big basketball month. It might be smack dab in the middle of the off season with a long way to go until the college and high school basketball seasons come back to us, but there will be plenty to talk about this month because coaches not only are preparing maybe for a couple days off to visit families and enjoy some food and fireworks for the 4th of July, but shortly after that, for many of them, it's basically a month-long trip with a couple days of return to their home base, to their campus in between sessions, but a big opportunity for some players and obviously a big month for Indiana as Archie Miller and his staff will hit it very hard, you can bet, tracking Trace Jackson Davis and, of course, Keon Brooks. Those are the two big names within the state, but plenty of players from outside of the state as well. So I expect to hear and see reports and tweets and all sort of things this month now that we're in. Once that live period gets underway, that the coaching staff is hitting it very hard and being spotted at all the shoe circuit events out there, many different events out there, no question about that. Glad you're with us today. Hope you'll be with us every day this week, 11 o'clock right here on the Big X. Don't forget you can listen at 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, BigXSportsRadio.com, on the TuneIn app as well. And also, this week, when it gets to be 4th of July time, we kind of get the opportunity to help fill some of the void as far as play-by-play coverage goes with some Little League stuff. We've had a lot of fun the last 4 or 5 years following some of the great Little League teams. We've had baseball and softball teams from the area not only go on to win state tournaments, but beyond. And we'll actually have our first game from New Albany, the new Little League there on Charlestown Road behind Northside Christian Church. Our first broadcast from that facility Tuesday night, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It'll be the 12-year-old, the Major Division Softball Championship game. It's New Albany against Floyd's Knobs Community Club in that championship. The winner of that District 5 title game will go on to the state tournament not too far down the road, and we look forward to kicking off our coverage of Little League here. It's going to kick off tomorrow night, then we'll pause for the rest of the week. And the following week, it'll be very busy. We'll have some of the semifinal games from the different baseball divisions and scheduled for the 13th, which is actually a Friday this year. Friday, July 13th is Championship Friday, you could call it. You've got all three championship games. So if you're looking for something to do, sports person, come on out. It's free. If you can't, but have somebody on the team, you want to see how your local community or Little League is playing, you can track us over the next week and a half or so here on the Big X. It's always fun, great tradition here in this area, and we look forward to seeing if we have any teams this year that can make a run at a state championship, especially in that 12-year-old, that major division. That's the one in baseball and softball as well, where you can advance on to the Great Lakes Regional, which is a first-class deal on ESPN network of a family of stations. And then, of course, the baseball side, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, for the Little League World Series. We've had some teams come awful close. In fact, one team should have been there. So it'll be fun to follow here over the next couple weeks in our District 5 tournament. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Joining us to kick off our first program in July, once I get through with some headlines and news of the day, will be Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He'll be with us in segment number two. We'll talk some IU basketball. We'll talk a little IU football. We'll get an update, if there is any, on the IU baseball coaching search with Zach when he joins us. And then later in the program, from Chicago, Chad Gilbert will join us. He's there for a National Federation of High School Athletic Associations get-together, some meetings in the summertime, and we'll talk not only about that, but the dead period this week. There can be no high school sports, no summer league, no practices, no weights, no real contact at all with coaches. So it's a break for the 4th of July for student-athletes, a much-needed break and well-deserved break in the summer. Talk some about that, and get ready for July with Chad Gilbert when he joins us a little bit later in the hour. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Again, that's in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Just really a couple things. It's kind of a slow news day, but LeBron James obviously taking the cake on a national level, signs a four-year big money deal with the Lakers. He, for the first time in his career, is headed to one of the predominant old-time, traditional, great history to the franchise in the Lakers, and it will be really interesting to see what happens and what builds around him. They've got some pieces. They had some pieces. They've acquired a few others. In fact, waived Thomas Bryant. That's one of the things I'm going to talk about here in just a moment. But no question about it, in the basketball world, in the offseason, nothing bigger than tracking the LeBron sweepstakes, and the Lakers able to get it done just before LeBron reportedly got on an airplane to go to Europe for a family vacation. But big news, big shakeup, and I can't say it was a big surprise. I think we all have been hearing the Lakers and a few other teams mentioned now, even back during the season. But I think there's no question that that will shake up the NBA landscape, especially with the Warriors and the dominance that they have had in the Western Conference. Also, I mentioned Thomas Bryant. He spent his rookie season with the Lakers, primarily with the South Bay Lakers. He did get a couple call-ups. Seemed like there were some times where almost within the same day, Thomas would get called up and go back to the Lakers, whether it was coming up for practice purposes or to fill in for a game or two. It's still some opportunities for him at the NBA level. He was waived on Saturday. The Lakers had until July 5th to decide on Bryant's option for the 18-19 season. That would have been worth $1.4 million. Remember, Bryant was the number 42 pick in the NBA draft in 17. He averaged 1.5 points, 1.1 rebounds, and 4.6 minutes per game for the Lakers in his rookie season. And then, of course, spent the majority of his season with the South Bay Lakers in the G League. So will be interesting to see how long he's on the market. I would expect someone else to pick him up, and it would not surprise me if he was playing Summer League basketball here at the Vegas Summer League for the NBA teams coming up really in just a couple weeks with another franchise that picks him up. I would expect that to happen. I would be really surprised if Thomas didn't get another opportunity to at least be a G League player again for next season. Also, NCAA Naismith Player of the Year, obviously, is the big-time award that concludes the college basketball year each season. And I saw a watch list, top 25 preseason candidates for the 2018-19 Player of the Year was put out by just a random college basketball writer. Not a big name, but of interest. The reason I bring this up, Romeo Langford, one of the top 25, according to this writer, for consideration for the Naismith Player of the Year Award. And that's very obviously interesting to see that a freshman who, I know he's known on a national level, but a freshman is regarded that high before he's even played a college basketball game, that he would be on anyone's watch list that follows the game closely. So the college basketball season, the IU season, still a long way away, but Romeo Langford continues with his name to not only be expected to have a big college year as a freshman, but the projections early, now that the 2018 draft is over, projections early for him to be drafted fairly high. I've seen anywhere from 3rd to maybe 12th in the NBA draft for next summer. One other note, a very neat event. I know it's summer, it's going to be hot, but a very neat event coming up here in just a couple weeks, actually 1 week from this coming Saturday. It's Saturday, July 14th. It's the grand opening of Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. It's a new park. It's actually the same park we'll be at tomorrow night for the broadcast of the Little League Major Division Softball District 5 Championship game. Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park, it's the home of New Albany Little League, and the actual park itself, everything but the Little League fields have not been open. The Little League fields have been the only piece of the park open since back in the spring. The rest of the park opens on Saturday, July 14th. Of course, that's the unveiling officially of Romeo Langford Court, and that court is supposed to be painted and striped, and it will be very beautiful when it is done, first class with the finish on the court. The goals, obviously, very nice for an outdoor court. But the grand opening on Saturday, July 14th, will feature some basketball. There'll be other activities going on at the park as well, but it will feature some basketball that day. The public is invited. Romeo is scheduled to be there with his family at 11 o'clock on July 14th. It'll be a rematch of the Floyd County Elementary Basketball League Girls Championship from this past season. Floyd's Knobs, the champion, will take on runner-up Greenville in a girls' scrimmage. And then at noon, Grantline, the boys' champion of elementary basketball in Floyd County last season, they will have a rematch with runner-up Mount Tabor. Again, that's at 11 and noon. The girls at 11, the boys at noon. Later in the afternoon, there's some open court opportunities for players and former players in the area. And then the basketball festivities will conclude at 2:30, or at least the last game will begin at 2:30 with a alumni scrimmage of sorts between New Albany and Floyd Central, former Bulldogs and former Highlanders from the graduating classes of 2010 through 2017. So it will be fun to see those guys get out there, break in Romeo Court as well. And again, it's free. There'll be other activities. There'll be music. There'll be some food. There'll be kid activities as well. So a fun day to open a beautiful park in Floyd County, just out Charlestown Road, right behind Northside Christian Church. I'm sure many of you are familiar because it's the home of New Albany Little League. That's a look at the headlines, the Hoosier headlines for this Monday edition of the program. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and the best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune, their Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more on this holiday week. Maybe you're off this week. Maybe this is your last day of the week, making it a really short week. But nonetheless, don't forget, we will be live and local every day at 11 o'clock this week with the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back here, Monday edition of the Hoosier Report on the Big X Sports Radio, joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU insider, the IU beat writer for the Star, does a great job, and we're very appreciative that he takes time out to join us each week here on the show. I want to start off with something that has nothing to do with Indiana, LeBron James to the Lakers. Did you see that coming? Did you expect it? And what are your thoughts?
I thought he was going to Atlanta, personally. You know, I think it's pretty clear that the Hawks are the team on the upswing in the NBA. So, you know, you can't fault LeBron for wanting that LA lifestyle, but I think he's going to regret it when they're hanging championship banners, you know, starting next season at Phillips Arena.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, Zach, Atlanta native, you do know all the good restaurant selections. So if LeBron were to go to Atlanta, which obviously won't happen now, but if he were, it would be very kind of you to do what you did for me when I went for the McDonald's game, which is send a nice suggested list of great places to eat.
You know, what's funny, actually, is there is a place in Atlanta, and I think it's called Friedman's, and it's a shoe store that specializes in custom shoes, and in particular, people who need particularly large sizes. And Atlanta has never been a very popular town for NBA free agents for a whole host of reasons. But NBA players love going through Atlanta at least once a year because they can go to Friedman's and get, like, nice dress shoes. You know, when you've got size 17, 18 feet, it's not always easy to find those. So see, he could get food wrecked and he could get Friedman's. No, I mean, look, it's LeBron James in L.A. Certainly the financial situation seems pretty strong. And if I'm not mistaken, this decision came after Paul George went to Oklahoma City. So, it doesn't seem anyway via the timing like, this was all supposed to be teaming up with Paul George, and now that's not going to happen. I know the Kawhi Leonard thing is still open-ended. But, hey, you know, the Eastern Conference is going to be terrible for a little while. I guess it's a good time for the Hawks to be tanking.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it might be a bad time for the Hawks to be tanking.
And maybe a good time for the Pacers. I didn't think about that, but I guess that's something locally, a storyline to talk about or follow. Maybe a good time for the Pacers to be on the upswing with so much talent out west.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be a little bit very little feast and a lot of famine, it feels like, in the East here for the at least the short term. I mean, you've got some teams that are nice collections of talent. I think Indiana's one of those. I think Philadelphia's one of those. Boston, you know, Toronto to an extent. But you're also, I think, it does feel like the balance of power is firmly in the West for a while here.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, the Lakers deal with LeBron a little bit tied to Thomas Bryant. He was waived over the weekend on Saturday before, obviously, the LeBron news was out there or known, but they were making some financial room for LeBron, I'm sure. I was disappointed to see that because, obviously, Thomas had a spot, as you would expect, in the upcoming Summer League out in Vegas, which it's always fun to, number one, just watch the former IU guys and others with local connections play in the summer, kind of fills the gap between the off season and the start of the next professional and college and high school seasons. But I would expect, and based on the little bit that's been out there about him being waived, I would fully expect him to get at least a summer league opportunity or for someone else to take a chance on him. Is that kind of the feeling you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a really good season in the G League. And I think I even saw maybe some speculation that the Pacers, because I think they needed to cut him before his contract for next season became fully guaranteed. But, or not the Pacers, excuse me, you got me thinking about Indiana here. The Lakers could cut him to make that space, as you said, for LeBron James and maybe even Leonard as well, but then bring him back on another deal once, you know, the cap dust has finally settled, because you know as well as I do that it's never as simple as just adding things up. Money can be moved around and kind of pocketed in different places and stashed and whatever. And but I would be really surprised if you know, Thomas Bryant isn't fielding at least a few summer league calls or maybe even has been told quietly by the Lakers, look, we'd love to be back here talking to you in a couple of weeks. We just kind of need to clear this off to make all the calculus work right now.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Switching gears, and I do want to come back to basketball here in a moment, but switching gears, IU baseball, Chris Lemonis to Mississippi State. That deal is now official, and he is off and running with his new program in the South. Has there been any update, any chatter about the process for an IU baseball coach and any names, if there has been any chatter?
Not really a ton. And, you know, this is the point where I think I always come back to talking about the basketball search last year and how from Tom Crean's firing to Archie Miller's hiring, you know, Fred Glass ran a really tight ship with IU athletics. And, you know, I've seen a speculation has kind of ranged far and wide because Indiana's an interesting job. I mean, it's basically a mid-major job in one sense, and that's nothing against Indiana, but it's more just where the Big Ten falls in the pecking order in college baseball and the challenges that you're inevitably going to face because of the weather, because of geography, because of, you know, the cultural importance of the sport, although baseball quietly is actually a really productive sport at the high school level in terms of prospects and talent in Indiana. But then at the same time, it's also a place a la maybe a Butler where you can come in and you can win a lot. And if you really kind of do it right for the first 2, 3, 4 years, you can set a foundation where you can win a ton of games and maybe not be in one of those high-pressure situations, you know, all the time, year after year. Why aren't you going to Omaha this year? Why aren't you going to Omaha next year? So I've seen speculation from up-and-coming head coaches, promising assistants, guys with regional ties, national ties. I think Oregon State's pitching coach was linked to it over the weekend. My sense is that's probably not a really strong link at this point. But again, Indiana is also keeping this pretty firmly under wraps. And that's very much Fred Glass's MO. And I'll say what I think I said last week. The one thing I'm confident in is last time they went through this process, Chris Lemonis was kind of always, you know, choice 1A. And then they sort of spoked out from there. I don't think there is a Chris Lemonis in this particular group. I think this is one where Indiana's going to open this job up and really see kind of what comes to them, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Zach, any possibility, I guess, early on, like maybe right after Lemonis's decision announced or made official, he was headed to Mississippi State, that Tracy Smith, the former coach who really got the momentum started for IU baseball in a big way, obviously going to the College World Series. There was mention that, oh, maybe he's on the radar. Maybe he would consider coming back if the pay was better and there were some other perks for him. I don't think his season went great at Arizona State this past year. Has his name been mentioned at all, and do you think he could be considered for a return hire to Bloomington?
I mean, his name's been mentioned, I think, and for all the reasons that you listed there. He hasn't necessarily had a ton of success yet, at Arizona State. And, you know, that is the kind of job where if you're not winning big consistently, you can find fans, you know, kind of up your shirt a little bit, you know, pretty fast, and the heat in the seat turns up. I don't know how... I don't really get the sense that's something that either Tracy would entertain or Indiana would entertain, probably in part because Tracy wouldn't entertain it. But it sounds like he got some really good reassurances from his AD about next season and the support he's getting and those sorts of things. And if I'm not mistaken, and I will profess not to follow Arizona State a ton, but it seemed like he had a pretty young team that showed some promise and just didn't quite click it all together this year. So it could be where maybe next season they're really kind of trending up a little bit more and he can get some of that success going that he hadn't been able to the last couple of years. And like I said, I know why he's getting mentioned. I know why IU fans will always feel an affinity for Tracy Smith. There's, you know, I totally understand that. I don't know how serious that would get, frankly, between either party, IU or Tracy.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Back to basketball. Recruiting periods begin this month, most of the month, not all. There's some breaks in between. College coaches, especially at the Division I level, will be on the road recruiting. I think we know, especially with how much publicity nowadays is given to recruiting and live periods and where coaches are at, I think everyone knows that being a college basketball coach at the Division I level is not a job for someone that has a lazy bone to them. It's a job that you're working year-round. Maybe you get a couple weeks away with family at times, but for the most part, there is something to do. If you want to be competitive and you want to be in the mix, there's something to do all of the time. I tell you what, the July month, a lot of people probably that maybe don't follow the recruiting or don't follow the off-season activities that are just Indiana fans or just Louisville fans probably don't realize, and I think it's much more mainstream today than it ever has been, how many days and hours these coaches are on the road. And I would have to think that maybe the first couple days or the first stop or two is fun because you get to reunite with an old buddy that's, you know, in the coaching ranks maybe on the West Coast, and you get to grab a beer or bite to eat with some friends in between games. But I would think by the end of the month, that July is just an absolute pain for these coaches, but it's how recruiting is, and you've got to be there courtside to not only learn more about players, but for the ones you really want, for the ones you're really targeting, just being there, being courtside, making yourself seen game in and game out is just kind of part of the deal.
You know, I remember, and this was a few years ago in the evaluation period, stretched all the way to the end of July, and there was a tournament up at Spieth Fieldhouse in Fort Wayne, and for some reason the AC wasn't working, and so it was like 88 degrees in the gym, and you could just see like the resolve of maybe everybody there just kind of melting, because you had a lot of guys that had been at like Peach Jam or Vegas, and I'm talking about players. And this was kind of their last tournament of the summer before they got to turn their attention to high school again. And they, you know, you could see they're road weary. You could see they're tired. And then you got this broiling hot gym, and you've got coaches who, I think the ones that had been in Vegas maybe were a little bit more comfortable because they were just acclimatized to it. And then media just sort of like trudging around doing one last round of interviews. It absolutely is a grind, and it's one where you can be in multiple cities in one day. You know, you can be in gyms watching prospects from, you know, 8 a.m. to, I mean, the late hours of the night. But it is, like you said, it's what you have to do. And at the same time, you also have to keep your eyes open. And any coach will tell you this, you know, that this isn't like some groundbreaking piece of analysis I'm about to throw out. But, you know, you're keeping your eyes open. You're following the guys that you know you want them to know how much you value them, but you always want to keep, you know, just one eye out for maybe somebody that you didn't expect to see. I mean, Indiana, for example, came in on Rob Johnson in July. You know, they didn't, I mean, I think they'd watched him a little bit before, but it wasn't until that last July period before his senior year of high school that Indiana really thought, this is a guy for us. You know, this is a player we need to add. We really need to target in this class. And look what he turns into. He turns into what, a 1,200-point scorer, a 4-year starter, a Big Ten champion. So, you know, as much as that can seem like a grind, and it is, there's no question, coaches aren't just there to kind of go through the motions. They're there because you never know when you're going to find a guy, or when you're going to see a guy who's turned a corner, or when you're maybe going to have the opportunity to unearth a target you really weren't expecting to find.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. There's two exciting things, I think, for fans that really get into the recruiting stuff, and we'll obviously talk about it on this program a lot, especially this month. You write about it, tweet about it on a regular basis. But number one is, who's going to emerge like a Robert Johnson? Is it going to be somebody in the first period, in the last period? There's so many names Indiana's already involved with, but I can guarantee you, sitting here before a ball has even been tipped at a live event that Archie Miller's in attendance at, there will be a name or two pop up this month that Indiana will get really involved with. The other thing that I always kind of watch and think back to last year when Demezi Anderson committed and Robert Fennessy committed, and I think there were, what, two or three commitments in almost like a 36-hour period, if I remember correctly. Will there be any commitments that happen in the month, or especially right after the month? Those are the two things from an IU perspective each year, no matter who the coach is, no matter how good the recruiting class is, no matter what the expectations are in Bloomington. Those are two things that I always think are interesting to watch.
Yeah, and what I always tell fans who want to know, when's the commitment coming, when's it going to happen, I always say it can happen in June. And, you know, you just mentioned a few of them right there that happened for Indiana very recently in June. But you can also, a lot of the time, it's that period right after the July period is over when you start to really see things accelerate for guys. Visits really start to be hammered out. You know, top fives are released, top threes are released. Because, and we heard Trace Jackson Davis say this recently, you know, you want to go through July, see who's recruiting you the hardest, see if anybody else jumps in that maybe piques your interest that you wouldn't have considered before. Maybe, you know, maybe UNC comes in really hard on Trace Jackson Davis, and he'd never really thought about UNC before, but he wants to explore him more now. It's that period kind of after everybody, post-July, after everybody's had a little bit of time to just take a breath and just kind of rest, I guess, basically, that you really start to see both players and programs make it clear, you know, these are the four or five that we're really focused on going into the home stretch here. And I know it's something where fans, that they want to go into July with a couple birds in the hand. They want to go into July with some commits, and they want, you know, they want commits just in general always, I think. But you tell them just be patient, because there's so much more clarity that usually comes post July. I think probably even frankly than post, post spring, post April, May window to me.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Zach, I have not had time to take any free moments in watching the World Cup, but I guess I lived through the tournament on your Twitter feed, which is one of my favorites to follow. So I know this is a great time of the year for you as a big soccer guy.
Yeah, it's been a great. I'm literally watching it while we talk here. It's been a fun tournament. You know, you've had some surprises. Germany, the reigning champions, have already been knocked out. There's a couple teams that kind of snuck through the group stage that you wouldn't really have expected. Honestly, one of the things that I've enjoyed is that the teams that aren't as good, you know, and I think about like Morocco and Iran got paired with Spain and Portugal, and so you sort of look at that and say, well, that's a massive mismatch. But instead of those teams just sort of being ultra defensive and trying desperately not to allow goals and just trying to play almost like, you know, sort of dead games, it feels like those teams have just come out and been aggressive and almost just kind of thrown a little bit of caution to the wind. And I think that's led to some fun results and to some exciting stuff. Now, sometimes when you get to this point where it's the knockout stages and everything's a little bit more real, things get a little bit cagier. I mean, right now I'm watching 1-0 between Brazil and Mexico, but it's fun, and it's fun because, you know, these are kind of, you see a lot of players you don't really see very often, you know, because you kind of get pigeonholed into watching one league or two leagues, at least I know I do. And so there's tons of players in these games that I just don't ever see, and it's just fun to kind of be introduced to styles and to different, you know, stars or players that you maybe haven't heard of. Now, at a certain point, I think I've got to turn it off and get work done, but I'll sneak a glance here and there.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. You got to come down to, and I've never been, but you've got to come down to Louisville sometime. We'll hit up a Louisville FC game. Maybe we'll get Alex Bozich to treat us to one. So let's put that on the docket of something fun to do sometime.
I thought that for a while it looked like Atlanta was going to be playing in Louisville, and then they lost.
Yeah.
So it was the Open Cup, which is like the knockout competition that goes on like sort of in concert with the season. And I was thinking, well, hey, I could slide down there for an Atlanta United game, and then Atlanta United let me down.
I don't know that Louisville has the food suggestions that you've helped me with in Atlanta, but I'd sure be willing to treat you or try. So.
I'm just going to Zaxby's. Let's just be honest. I'm just making a beeline for Zaxby's.
And hey, that's,
I don't see
that's
the calorie listing.
That's
next
a good,
to all the
a
meal
great
options.
Plug, a perfect plug for the Zaxby's High School Football Preview Show that we're going to be announcing here coming up. So, thanks for that, Zach. Hey, thanks as always for coming on. Great stuff. Enjoy the World Cup, and we'll talk with you next week and dig a little more into the recruiting in the July month when coaches will be out there on the road watching these guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star and one of our regular guests. We try to have a great IU voice on every day here on the Hoosier Report, and Zach is the guy that gets us started in a big way on Mondays. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA Executive Board member representing Southern Indiana. Chad is actually in Chicago at the National Federation Convention. Lots of rules being discussed, lots of other business being taken care of, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the dead period. We'll talk some July basketball and much more with Chad Gilbert coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget that even though it's a holiday week for Many of you will be live and local every day, including July 4th on Wednesday at 11 o'clock with the Hoosier Report, a complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We go now to Chad Gilbert, one of our regular guests on Mondays. Chad is actually in Chicago for the National Federation of High School Sports National Convention, of course, as not only the Charlestown athletic director, but an IHSA board member as well. So, Chad, you're getting some time away, but I know that's a busy time, an opportunity to get some business done, to network, all things you're very good at.
Matt, you hit the nail right on the head. That's what this thing's about. We're getting up here and seeing how other states do it. And Chicago's a great city. You know, we've had a blast up here. Got to talk to a lot of different people. And, you know, we're trying to work hard. You know, everybody's working hard at it, you know. You are the James Brown of radio, the hardest working man in business working on July 4th, and we're just trying to follow, you know, lead like people like you who are thinking about what it takes progressive to go to that next level. But there's a lot of interesting things talked about up here, lots of different sports, and, you know, a lot of different things on how to be a good board member, you know, where you're supporting athletics, you're supporting your association, and possible changes that could become.
Chad Gilbert joining us from the National Federation National Convention in Chicago. You know, high school sports, we talk so much when you join us. You play a number of roles in high school sports locally and just in the local sports landscape. After all the talk, and of course we go overboard, I know that. We love basketball here in this area, especially, of course, the entire state does. And I love it, so we talk about it all the time, year-round, when some people think, gosh, isn't there something else to talk about going on here in Southern Indiana? But instead, in June, we're having on high school coaches who are getting a chance to see their team in summer leagues and team camps and other things like that. But that's all over with now, and this week is a rest and relaxation for the high school student athletes. It doesn't matter if it's basketball or football or a sport that's not even near being in season or with any activities going on right now. Not only is it rest and relaxation as far as from the school side of things go, but really no contact with the coaches either. And sometimes it's just good for a break. And I think that that's this week is well suited for that for our athletes.
It is. You know, it gives coaches the time to get away. It gives kids the time to get away. And some schools do a 2-week moratorium week, which isn't a bad thing. And it's, you know, this is the time that most winter sports, they're wrapping things up. Fall sports are really getting ready to start going here in July and just lead up right to their season. You know, in spring, you know, they play their summer leagues and their fall leagues, and they just continually go. But this is kind of a break for the end of the summer. And like I said, the winter sports, they're wrapping things up, evaluating what they need to do in the fall. And the fall sports, they're getting ready to go full bore on it here. And I think, you know, it gives teams an advantage. You know, going in gives a little bit more practice time, a little bit more idea. It's like anything else. It's how you use your time. If you use it wisely, it can be very beneficial. If you're just out there going through the motions, you might as well be laying by the pool.
Chad Gilbert joining us today. Summer basketball. I talked some in the last segment with Zach Osterman about the grind that college coaches have, especially at the Division I level, even more so within Division I at the high major level, like what Archie Miller, trying to lead that program, all facets of that program. And July is just a grind for these coaches to be out on the road attending these events and trying to be front and center for the prospects that they are most serious about. Let's go back in time a little bit to when you were a great player at Charlestown High School, being recruited, had a lot of opportunities, of course, would go on in college to play at the University of Southern Indiana, which would lead to a Division II national championship, which is a strong reminder of how good Division II basketball is, not just in this area, but of course we look at Bellarmine across the river as well. But how were you seen? How did you get a scholarship offer? How did you have coaches that found out who you were to start contacting you? And with all the changes going on, there have been some proposals for the NCAA to start running some summer camps for players to get exposure. There's been a proposal in that same list of things to see maybe the high school coaches get a little more authority back in the recruitment of their players and perhaps even open up some of the June and May dates for high school open gyms and for high school summer leagues and tournaments where they wouldn't even be with their AAU team or on a shoe-sponsored team. But go back in time to how you were first contacted or recruited or seen by college basketball coaches.
Well, you know, how it worked back then is that Amy and I were cleaning up the garage, and I found a box of old things in there. I had letters from everybody across the nation, you know, just form letters. Mike Brock was on the board with me. We talked about that. He said, you know, we'd send out 5,000 letters a week, you know, form letters, just get people's interest, see who we could touch on. And so we had all of that. And my exposure, the way it went to me is I played on a local team. A lot of local guys played with us. And then we played well in a couple of state tournaments. We ended up, back in that day, you had the Indiana State Tournament, you had the White River Games. We won the White River Games, and then we came in fourth in the state tournament. Well, on top on that, there was a couple of teams then. They had the we ended up being on the Bloomington team. There's the Bloomington, there was the Lafayette Hustlers, and there was Municipal Gardens. We're kind of the three big teams there. So I ended up getting picked up on the Bloomington team with Glenn Robinson, Brandon Brantley, Marlon Fleming, Chris Brand, you know, a lot of guys who went on with their career. And so every game, you know, when Glenn Robinson's on your team, every coach in America is there watching. And so, yeah, I can remember one time we played Chicago, and they had Tommy Kleinschmidt, Juwan Howard. I got in and had a great game that, you know, that time, phone's ringing off the hook when we get home. You know, next game, not so much, phone doesn't ring so much. So it's kind of one of those things that you see it, you know, you get out there and you get that exposure, and people can run across you looking for someone else. But the way it is now, it's so far advanced now that the big-time coaches, you know, Coach K, Roy Williams, Cal, those guys, Archie, they're not out there looking for players. They know who they're looking for. They're trying to zero in and see if they fit their need. And the ones they know that they want, they're just babysitting. They're just going to those things so that player knows that they're there watching. And it's, you know, it's a whole lot different now than it was then. There's so much more internet, so much more scouting, so much more film that they can get on people. And it's, you know, like I said, it's more of a babysitting thing now because the coaches know who they want. They know what needs they need to fill. So they're just not going to find the diamond in the rough.
Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad, do you get the sense from coaches and maybe when you're in Indianapolis meeting with IHSA board members generally that it's a good thing for some things to change in the month of July where maybe some exposure opportunities given more to the high school teams or NCAA orchestrated camps? Or do you think that even people you're around want to see the model continue with shoe companies and the big-time talent being gathered in such a organized fashion as it is now, even though there are some questionable things, to say the least, at times?
You know, change is always good. Change is always difficult. It's something where, you know, there's a lot of AAU programs that do it for the right reasons. There's a few bad characters who don't do things for the right reasons. They use kids and go at it, and that's the ones who get most of the publicity. The guys that do it right, you don't hear a whole lot about them, but there's a lot of people, just like the high school coaches, who are wanting to do well for kids. And if you keep that in mind, everything, you know, it comes into place. But, you know, you talked about some changes, not to shift gears on you and be all over the place, but just some different changes in the rules that we've talked about nationally. Is, you know, like a shot clock situation possibly coming in. I'm not sure if AAU uses a shot clock now or not. But AAU at the high school level, possibly a restricted area, you know, the arc underneath the basket. You know, possibly playing halves instead of, you know, playing 8-minute quarters, possibly going to 18-minute halves. You know, just lots of different things coming down the pipe, lots of different things to question and lots of different changes. You know, that's part of it. That's part of the evolution of how things go and, you know, try to get things better. Some things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But there's some things, you know, how can we make the game better?
Chad Gilbert joining me. Chad is with me each Monday. We talk local sports and, of course, Chad, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA Executive Board Member. LeBron James to L.A., pretty interesting.
Oh, you know, the interesting part's going to be next year. You know, LeBron, he's out in L.A. He's going to do his thing. The Lakers, you know, next year they're going to pick up two superstars, and they're going to have a super team just like Golden State, just like Houston, and they're going to be hard-pressed to, you know, to beat out. But that West is just so brutal. Right now, the Lakers are the fourth-best team in the West. And, you know, it's just a different creature out there. It's much, much tougher than the West than it is in the East. You know, if you take the Lakers and put them in the East, they're probably the second-best team. So, you know, he's got a lot to count for, but I wouldn't bet against him. You know, the one thing on him is he's 34 years old, 30, and been in the league, you know, 15, 16 years. So there's a lot of mileage on LeBron. But, I mean, there's a lot of mileage on Tom Brady, too, and he's MVP at 40 years old. So I wouldn't bet against him. You know, he's about as good as there is. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, those type of changes, that, you know, that makes the NBA exciting. You know, Christmas Day, you're going to see all the superstars. There's going to be great games on Christmas. You can guarantee that.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, have a great 4th of July. Enjoy your trip to Chicago, and we will catch up again next week.
Matt, after work on the 4th of July, come over. We'll have some hot dogs and burgers on the grill. Take care of you out there. You're working too hard. Take a break, my friend.
Chad Gilbert, thank you very much. I'll talk with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for the run.
All right. We will head to a commercial break, come back, and wrap things up for today, this July 2nd. Hard to believe we're in the month of July. The big recruiting period just around the corner. We'll tell you about some of the big events and where maybe you'll see or hear that Archie Miller is at here in this first period that opens up very soon. Coming up next in our final segment on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment, final couple minutes here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we will be here with you on Wednesday for 11 o'clock show every day this week, but I want to specifically point out Wednesday since it's a holiday for most. Make sure if you're out and about and headed to a 4th of July gathering that you tune us in live here on the Big X Sports Radio. And also a reminder, Tuesday night we'll have play-by-play from our first District 5 Little League game of the summer. A handful of those games coming up over the next week and a half or so, but our first one is Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. It's a softball championship game in the major division. It's going to be New Albany Little League against Floyd's Knobs Community Club, and we'll have the broadcast, Lee Kelly, Tom Wendt, and I from the new New Albany facility off of Charlestown Road right about 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I mentioned the July recruiting periods coming up. 3 5-day periods are the structure once again for this summer. July 11th through the 15th is the first 5-day window. That's the big opportunity for the Nike Peach Jam down in Georgia, where Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis playing for their Indy Heat team. That's where they will be. Where they will be at July 18th through the 22nd. That's the second 5-day window, and the final opportunity for coaches to get out later this month will be July 25th through the 29th. And again, we'll be keeping you posted every day about where Archie Miller and his staff are at. That's going to wrap it up for today. Have a great holiday week. Be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.